And I didn't have one because I have another way I'm going to introduce today's sermon. But I want to start with, I got one interesting question this week concerning this sermon series and one extremely interesting comment from this sermon series that I thought I'd like to share with you. And the first interesting question is, why doesn't my Bible have all of these names in it? I mean, you're sitting here reading all these names and my Bible doesn't have any of these names in it. Where are they? And the reason is because your Bible's written in English. And these names that we've been reading over the past 10 weeks are all Hebrew or Aramaic, depending on what book of the Bible you find them in. And so they translated the names. It's kind of like if you go and you listen to an Indian tribe and they have the names that actually mean things. Well, that's the way Hebrews named people. And so the names meant something. So when they wrote the English Bible, instead of putting the Hebrew word there, they put the translation for what it meant. So it was a very interesting question because a lot of people don't understand. King James did not write the Bible. It was actually written in Hebrew and Greek. And so as the translations went, these names were translated. And so we miss these names of Jehovah a lot of times because of the way they're translated. So that's my interesting question. My interesting comment is, I was talking to somebody this week and they were commenting about this sermon series. And they said, you know what? I learned something. I'm like, well, that's always a good thing from a sermon. Understanding the name of God is less about knowing who God is and more with dealing with my own issues. Now, I honestly wanted to grab that person and just kiss them right on the forehead, but I thought that might be a little inappropriate, so I didn't. But I want you to follow that because we started out with the, here I am, the eternal existing God, and I have to deal with he's God and I'm not. Then we moved on, and he wants to be our shepherd, and that's where we have to come to the realization that I need somebody to lead me in my life, because left to my own desire, I wander wherever I want to go. Then we came to, he wants to provide for us, and then when we read that story of Abraham and Isaac and the provision, then we realized that the provision has to happen when I do things his way. Abraham was offered to make a sacrifice, was told to make a sacrifice, his son. Then we came on, we looked at the bitter and broken part of our lives and how he wants to heal those. But then we realized that I have to be willing to take this bitter and broken part of my life and give it to him. If I hold on to it, he can't heal it. Then we went to the next name, and he wants to be our focal point, our banner. It was the thing where we had the flag, and we realized that God doesn't want to be a part of our life. He wants to be our life. And now I have to deal with that. Then we come to, he wants to make us holy, that word of completeness. And this was the challenging one because now God says, if you want to understand me, now we got to deal with sin. I don't like that either. Then we come around and he wants to give us peace, but then we realize to give us peace that we then must deal with what takes peace away from us. We must deal how we focus on the chaos in our life versus how indeed God provides us peace, not by removing the chaos, but giving us security even through the peace. Then we talked about he wants to be our righteous Savior. That's where we were last week. And even in wanting to be our righteous Savior, 2 weeks ago, even in being our righteous Savior, again, it's all about doing things his way. There was not an option there to say, well, I want to do it this way and still have you be my Savior. The word Lord went right along with the word Savior. You can't have one without the other. Then we finished up last week when we were talking about the gates and the dry bones. When we were over in Ezekiel and we were talking about the Lord wants to be present in our lives. And again, I have to deal with that. Because I have to deal with some of the discouragements in my life and the way that sometimes things don't go as I planned them. But you know what? Sometimes it just goes that way. And that all sounds so amazing, but then we get to today, and who would not be passionate for serving that kind of a God because he's such an awesome God. And before we talk about today's name, I want to, no video, I want to ask you a few questions. You ready? Don't say the answer out loud. Who's the most powerful person on earth? Now, I made sure I said on earth because Jesus is in heaven right now. So the most powerful person on earth, according to you. Got the name in your head? Here's the question. What makes them powerful? See, the name in your head, maybe the name in your head, believe it or not, maybe it's Barack Obama, but we realize what makes him powerful isn't who he is, it's the position that he holds. Maybe you thought of a name like Bill Gates. Okay, that's from my era. Well, you probably don't think Bill Gates, but you think about Bill Gates and why is he powerful? He's rich. He's got lots of money. Maybe you thought of somebody like LeBron James, the NBA superstar, and why is he powerful? Because he's talented and he's famous. See, when we start thinking about power, what makes something powerful is really all in a matter of perception. Here's a good question. What is the most powerful force of nature? Now, ponder that thought for a minute, because I want to tell you, my wife and I were in Myrtle Beach one year, and they called for a hurricane coming on land, so I have actually been in the middle of a hurricane. Not the Camille style, it was a small one, but that's okay. I've actually been in a earthquake, because we had one on the other side of the mountain. They felt the tremors over here, but we were like right near the epicenter, so our house got shaken, and it was very scary. I have actually been in a tornado when we went to Ohio, and our plane landed, and getting off the plane, and there was a tornado warning. I'm like, great. This is just what I need. But it's interesting, when you go to Ohio and you go to the hotels, all of the bathrooms in the hotel say certified tornado warning, tornado shelter. So I guess if there's a tornado, you're supposed to go sit in the bathroom. I don't know, because there's no window. But anyway, I've been through all of these things, and I've actually seen fires, large fires. I've seen all of this. So according to you, what is the most powerful force of nature when you think about all the things nature throws at us? And what makes it powerful? Usually we judge its power by the destruction it causes. Usually we judge its power by the lives that are lost because of it. See, power is a very interesting thing. We have to come up with a definition for power. And how we define power kind of defines how we define God. A lot of us see God as this destructive force in our life. A lot of us see God as this person that he's powerful simply because of his position that he holds. You have to realize God is powerful because God is in control. So the question becomes, how do we know when power is present? How do we know that God is actually present? Now, I know how power is present in this building. How do I know? Flip a switch, and what happens? Lights come on, or the fans spin, or I know there's power in the computer because I push the button and it does something, and the lack of power will take that away. So what we basically observe with the word power is I can look around, and although sometimes I can't define it, I know when it's there. And that's where we meet the last name that we're going to talk about in this series, Jehovah Sabaoth. I've looked for all different kind of ways. I thought the O should go before the A, but remember, this is Hebrew. This isn't English. So Jehovah Sabaoth, your turn. And it means the Lord Almighty or the Lord of Hosts. That's who we're going to look at today. This God that is an image of power. The book, the name is used mostly in the prophets. It's found about 80 times in the book of Jeremiah, 14 times in the book of Haggai, 50 times in the book of Zechariah, found almost 25 times in the brief book of Malachi, this name, Jehovah Sabaoth. Funny thing is usually the name shows up when Israel's on the brink of failure. When Israel has totally turned her back on God, when God is there, but, you know, he's kind of just that thing I do, a prophet comes on the scene, and this is the name that he preaches to Israel, Jehovah Sabaoth. Don't you understand? This God is powerful. This God is a God of power. As a matter of fact, he's a God of absolute power. This is what it says in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. By the way, I should be reading better today because now I have the glasses that actually work. So let's see how this works. This is what the Lord says. Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. This God has an awful high opinion of himself. I just want you to know that, because he says, I am the absolute ruler. He calls himself king. Now, we do not live in a democracy, by the way. We live in a republic, just so you know, but we'll call it a democracy because we're all more comfortable with the idea. We live in a democracy where everybody gets a say. Everybody gets a vote. If you don't like what's going on, just wait 4 years and you can vote the people out and vote somebody else in. We all get a say in how our country is run. You do realize when there's a king, you don't have that option. The king makes his laws and makes his proclamations based on what he feels is right for the nation. Now, unfortunately, we've had some ungodly kings in the past history, and they make bad decisions, but God is the righteous king, and God doesn't ask my opinion on how things should be done. He just doesn't. He doesn't come in the morning and say, Barry, what would you like the weather to be today? He doesn't ask my opinion, although sometimes I make personal requests. Still, it's God is the king. He is the absolute ruler of everything around us, past, present, and future. He is the absolute strength. Isaiah calls him the Almighty. Now, the Almighty, you have to break it all down and say, God is saying, there is nobody mightier than me. I am it. I am the top of the pyramid. There is nothing or no one or no substance in this universe that is more powerful than me. I remember watching the films, I was not alive during the day, when they dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima. And it went boom, and you had the big mushroom cloud. I remember the days when I was a teenager, they came out with this movie called The Day After, and they had all these warnings, don't let your kids see this because it's going to give them nightmares, because they showed what actually happened during a nuclear explosion on live television. And it was one of those things, and I just look at that power that just comes from that one bomb, and God says, you know what? That's not even a candle. I am the Lord Almighty. I am all powerful. I am absolute strength. And just in case you forgot, I'm in absolute control. Nothing ever catches God by surprise. Nothing I do, God said, well, I didn't see that one coming. He's in absolute control. He understands everything that's going on in life, and nothing happens without a reason. And that causes a lot of us concern because sometimes we don't understand. But God is in control of everything. And in case you are really missing it, he sees himself as the absolute God. Yeah, we might have other gods that we've developed over the years, and we maybe some places have built little statues, and we have other things in our life we worship and other things that we put in priority. But God says, you understand? Without me, Jehovah Sabaoth, without me, then nothing else actually exists. None of the other gods that you're chasing in your life can even exist unless I allow them to exist. That wraps my brain a little bit because I'm kind of like, well, why do you allow them to exist? Well, God has his purpose in everything that he's doing. But you need to realize Jehovah Sabaoth, he believes he's the one and only God. He's it. There is no plan B and no other option. Either you worship him as God or you're not actually worshiping God. He shows his name, Jehovah Sabaoth, in the power of nature. Just listen to Amos chapter 4, verse 13. He who forms the mountains and who creates the wind and who reveals his thoughts to mankind, who turns dawn to darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord God Almighty is his name. My kids and wife at Christmas time have this Christmas special that they watch. And usually I conveniently find something else to do when this comes on. It's called The Year Without a Santa Claus. And I like some of the songs. I do. Some of them are kind of cool. I'm a kind of a Charlie Brown man myself when it comes to Christmas specials. But in this particular little episode, we get to meet Snow Miser and Heat Miser. And these are the two brothers that one controls the north and he makes it cold, and the other controls the south and he makes it warm. And every time the guy in the north wants to make it snow in the south, the guy that controls it warms it up and it just becomes rain. And back and forth they go, and they're having this conversation. And Santa Claus is trying to get a holiday, and so Mrs. Santa Claus goes and sees their mom. And you know who mom is? It's Mother Nature. And so Mother Nature calls the boys together and makes some compromise. And we see this, but you need to realize, Snow Miser, Heat Miser, and Mother Nature, they're all myths. They don't really exist. Yeah, it's a cute claymation cartoon, but these beings don't exist, because I know who's in control of nature. It's Jehovah Sabaoth. It's the Lord God. The power that you see in the wind, that's God. The power that you see in the lightning and the fire, God says that is just a minuscule piece of what I can be. I am power, and I am present. He is powerful. If you have your copy of God's Word, will you please turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 12. We've looked at this story before. And guess what? We're going to look at it again. This is from the prophet Elisha, and God is about to make himself present. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord." There's a scary thought right there. "Come out and see me. For the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Elisha is being given the chance. Elijah is being given the chance to do something that very few men do: witness God's presence. And so Elijah, I guess, is going out, and he's expecting the fireworks show, because God's Jehovah Sabaoth is going to pass by. And so God gives him the fireworks show. God shows him some power. He shows him the wind. Shortly after we moved over the mountain, and we were in Newman, Waynesboro, we had one of these things that I had never actually experienced this. Like, it was called a microburst. Okay, and we had only been over in the mountain for about a week or so, and we had that storm came by, and it knocked out all of the power. Y'all remember that just a few summers ago? And the wind shook the house. By the way, we have an inside bathroom underneath the steps, and I remember my Ohio training. Guess where we went? Because the wind literally shook the house. We had a grill on the back deck, new to the area, and it was not hooked down to anything. The wind picked propane gas up, the whole grill up, and sat it out in the yard. By the way, it's chained now. I don't want propane tanks flying through the air around my house. So, but the wind was so powerful. And God has given Elijah this picture saying, "You want to see me? Here's the wind." And the wind calmed down, and there was no God. So God gives him another picture. He gives him an earthquake. I told you I've been in an earthquake before. I know where I was the day it happened. I was sitting down in the office of LexisNexis, and I was sitting there working on the computer, and I had this little Buzz Light. It's in my office here now. I had a little Buzz Lightyear bobblehead, and I'm sitting there working. All of a sudden, Buzz starts. That's a creepy feeling. And then the building begins to shake, and there's train tracks right outside of our office. And I thought a train would derail. And the train tracks and the building began to shake, and then the power went out, and my door was shut, and there's no windows, and so it's now all black. I'm thinking, what on earth is going on? But the building is shaking, and finally it stops, and I go out, and all of the people, they were doing the evacuation of the building. They had moved to the back of the parking deck, and I'm thinking, I don't think so. I'm going to go over here on the grass. Y'all can just count me. I'm right here. But it was a very freaky feeling to have the very ground beneath you move. And that is now what Elijah is experiencing. The ground is moving, and the ground finally stops shaking. And guess what? There's no God. He's not there. So he brings out the fire. I like fire. You guys know this. I had problems with fire when I was younger, but I like fire, okay? And so fire comes, and you know how destructive fire is. We see the forest fires out west every single year, and destroys acres and acres of land. And fire is such a scary force. And so God springs out the fire and says, "Do you see me now?" And there is no God. You see, God is showing that he is in control of power. But when God is ready to speak, these three most powerful forces on the planet is not what he speaks through. How does God speak? He often speaks in a whisper. He often speaks very softly. I've been in elementary classes where teachers understand the value of this. The kids are rowdy, and the teacher's trying to get their attention, and usually when somebody is loud, what is your first intention that you usually try to do? Be louder than them. But the experienced and seasoned teachers, you know what they start doing? They start talking in a very low voice. Because then you have to realize, I have to stop what I'm doing and pay attention to what's right in front of me. And that is what God is doing here. He is saying, "Elijah, I want you to come out and see me. Elijah, I want you to see my power, but I want you to listen to me. Don't be so focused on how powerful I am. Focus on my voice. I'm going to speak to you in a whisper." And I want you to see how Elijah responds to this whisper. When Elijah heard it, so the whisper was loud enough for Elijah to hear it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" It's funny, when the earthquake was going and the wind was blowing and the fire was going, Elijah was just sitting there like, "Ooh, fireworks." But when that whisper came, Elijah knew he was in the presence of God. And what was his first thing he wanted to do? Hide his face. Because when I come into the presence of God, when I realize who God is, when I come into that and I start face to face with him, then I have to start dealing with all of my inadequacies. And I'm not much different than Adam and Eve. I'm ready to go hide. I don't want you to see me. I'm not much different than Peter. When he realizes who Jesus is, he says, "Get away from me, Lord, because I'm a sinful man." You see, our natural tendency is when we come face to face with who God is and we see his power and we see his control, is we want to hide. But God just wants to relate. He wants to know, "Elisha, what are you doing here? What is it you're looking for?" Turn in your Bibles over to Psalm chapter 46. I just want you to listen for a moment. "God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her break at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty, Jehovah Sabaoth, is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease in the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, 'Be still and know that I am God. I will exalt you among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty, Jehovah Sabaoth, is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.'" And I read you these scriptures because a lot of times we see our world as an out-of-control world. We do. Man, we're looking around what's going on in this place and that place and all of these things, and we think somebody has just left it in such a mess, it is out of control. And here's what you need to know. It's not. Jehovah Sabaoth has not left his creation. He's in control. And in the middle, he says to be still and know that he is God. Now, being still is not an easy thing. I want you to just listen again to what these people are dealing with. The earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. God is showing these people that even though the very forces of nature are ripping the earth apart, just know I'm still in control. The waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Even though the ocean is going out of control, I'm not. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. Man, would you say our nation is in an uproar these days? As you watch the news this week, you don't have to watch very far to see just how much uproar is going on in our nation as we look at each other and God, and we want to say, where is God in the middle of all this? God says, I'm still in control. I haven't forgotten. Even if the kingdom falls, God's still in control. Even if the earth melts away, Jehovah Sabaoth is still in control. And he tells us in the middle of this, be still and know that I am God. Let's be honest, when things aren't going well in our life and we hear calamity and things, what is our natural tendency? Run. Make plans. Move from here to there and do this or do that. We want to get prepared and we want to, a lot of times we run around like a chicken with our head cut off, is the old thing my mom used to say. We just run around in all these directions and we flail and we try to control, and we need to realize, God says in those moments, be still. Be still. Because I am your refuge and your strength. I am the one that's going to give you refuge. We know what a refugee is, right? It is somebody that has been displaced from their home and they are seeking shelter and they are seeking safety. And God says, that's me. I am supposed to be your refuge during the dark times. I am supposed to be your strength. I am supposed to be able to get you going in the day and move you forward. He says, if you put your faith in me, we will not fear. While everybody else around us is confused and while everybody else is conflicted and everybody else is struggling, God says, no fear. Because I don't change. I don't move. I am Jehovah Sabaoth. I am the ultimate power. He calls himself a fortress. Now, I like this picture. Because you understand the picture, don't you? A fortress is a big building, a massive building with massive walls. And you go into it and it's a place where nothing can get in. This was the idea behind castles when they were back in the medieval times. They would build these fortresses with moats around them and drawbridges and alligators in the moats. And they would have knights that would stand on the tower. And you understand the idea was in that fortress, the king would feel safe. Well, the interesting thing is, how many of those castles did we watch fall? A bunch. But God says, let me be your fortress. Take your life and march it into me, and let me wrap myself around you, and I will be your fortress. I will protect you, even during some of the darkest times of your life. I want to close this sermon and this sermon series with some final images of God. They're all from the book of Revelation. The first one we find in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, and it says, John writing, when I saw him, Jesus, God, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. It's interesting, everybody that I ever see that comes in encounter with God falls dead. They see his power and they realize, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. And while that's what we could take away from this, I want you to see the reassurance that Jehovah Sabaoth gives John. He says, don't be afraid. I'm in control. As a matter of fact, I'm so much in the control, I am the first and the last. I'm a circle. There's no ending. The second picture I want you to see is over in Revelation chapter 19, verses 14 and 15. The armies of heaven were following him, him being Jesus, God, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of the mouth was a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of fury and the wrath of God Almighty, Jehovah Sabaoth. Sometimes I think we forget about this image of Jesus. Here is Jesus, and he's coming, and he's got a sword. We know what sword's for. He tells us. He's riding a white horse, which is an image that we get because it is the victorious king. Kings didn't ride the white horses into battle. The white horses were held back until the battle was almost over, and then he would mount his white horse and ride in because the horse was a symbol of a victorious king. But you understand in this image of God, he says, you understand, at this point, I am going to be a little different than what you think, because he said, I'm going to tread the winepress of fury. There's a day coming that Jehovah Sabaoth will roll things back and we will see his ultimate power. Are you ready for that? The last image I want you to look at is found in Revelation 22:13. This is what it says. I am. We know what that one is. We know where that word came from. The Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. In other words, I am absolute. That's a good thing for us to remember. Because I want to know, what is your power source? Have you plugged your life into God Almighty? Have you allowed Him to be the person that's in charge of your life? Or maybe you've picked an alternate power supply. I don't know what it is. A lot of the alternate power supply I pick usually is me. I think I want to be in control of my life. That's just me. I'm a control freak. I admit it. But I want to ask you, are you willing to do that? Because this is something that I know I struggle with. I get up every morning and I have to remind myself, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is not my day. This is God's day. God's in control of this day just like He was in the day yet before and the day tomorrow. When I am long gone from this planet, God is still going to be in control of it. The world will not end just because I'm not here. We need to remember that sometimes. This world has been going on for a long, 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 long time. And Jehovah Sabaoth was in control at the beginning. He's in control now. The only thing that matters is whether or not I allow Him to control. Because God will not violate our ability to have free will. He will not force you to allow Him to control your life. He allows you to make a choice. So what have you plugged your life into? What's your power source today? When the world is going just all crazy, what is it that you seek to hang on to for your strength? The government? You know, something else? What is it in your life that is your focal point? Today, if you're here and you've never met this image of Jesus, just so you know, those images in Revelation, they are the to come. Let me tell you about the image that God wants you to see right now. It's the outstretched hands of our Savior on a cross, giving His life for every single one of us so that we can know who God is. If you've never accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, today's your day to do that. Come on forward. We'll sit down. I'll put you with somebody. They'll turn pages. Make sure you understand. But maybe you're here today and you understand that, but maybe the power cord just isn't plugged in right now. Maybe it's got a crimp in it, a short. Something's just not allowing God's force to flow from Him to you, and things are getting a little out of control for you. Let me encourage you today. Plug into the source, folks. Get to know God a little bit better. Would you please stand? We're going to pray.